Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. Don't know what I did. Okay, so we are going to sing a bunch of Christmas songs. Welcome to Candlelight Service 2021 Grace Baptist Church. Go ahead and remain seated because we're going to do several songs all in a row together and raise our voices for the Lord here. So first we're going to start with song number 423, Joy to the World. They should be on the wall. And if they're not on the wall for you, that will be song number 423, song, verses 1, 2, and 4 of song number 423. Here we go, nice and loud.
Joy to the world, the Lord is God. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. Wonders of His love.
All right, good start. We're now going to go to song number, it looks like 429, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we're going to do all four verses of song number 429. On the first.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead steep, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men do dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, rears with healing in His wings. Mild He lay His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
On the last.
Come, desire of nations, come, first in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now effaced. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, a herald angel sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right, so we do these songs. We do several of them, and we do several verses in them because I think oftentimes we go through and we don't even think about the words. Not tonight. Let's think about these words. They're wonderful, wonderful words. And the purpose of this is for us to just take a second and just honor our Lord and praise Him with our voices. So thank you for doing that. We're going to go to the next one. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Song number 433, I believe. Nope. 428. There we go. 428. I can't read my own handwriting. I apologize. Song number 428. I'm sorry. We're going to do the first, second, and fourth verse of song number 428. On the first.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from hands all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing.
On the floor.
For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets' parts foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.
That sounds really nice. Thank you for singing. We're now going to go to Away in a Manger. Song number 433. We're going to do all three verses of song number 433. On the first.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are low. the Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
On the last.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thy care.
Okay, next song up here is O Little Town of Bethlehem, song number 434. And we are going to do, looks like, all four verses of song number 434. On the first.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary, gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning star, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing, God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ answered.
All right, so I'm going to break a rule here. I know this is not the last song, but in spite of that, I would like to do that last verse a cappella. Let's do that last verse totally a cappella. And let's just lift our voices as high as we can for the Lord. Here we go, on that last one. Here we go.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today.
Here we go, sing it out.
We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell.
Here we go.
Oh, come with us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
That sounds beautiful. All right, now we're going to go to song number, I believe it's 424. O come, all ye faithful. And we are going to do all three verses of song number 424. Here we go.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, holy bright host of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. In Christ.
Here we go. Sing this last one out.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
All right, for our last song for this portion of the series, we are going to do Angels from the Realms of Glory. Song number 432. And we are going to do all four verses of song number 432. On the first.
Angels from the realms of glory, with your flight o'er all the earth, ye who sing the ancient story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er flocks by night, God with man is now residing yonder. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Son, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his nation star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
All right, on the last.
Saints before the altar bending, watching long, hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Thank you for singing.
Well, I do appreciate you coming out tonight for our candlelight service. Candlelight service is different from a lot of the other services. There's several things different about it. One is we don't take up an offering. So I'm not even sure if we're Baptist because we don't take an offering up on the service. We don't take an offering up, but that's really not what I'm referring to. It's more simple. Our Christmas program's a lot more complicated, more complex. A lot of practice goes into it. A lot of noise like that. Hang on. Can you hear me? Cool. I mean, now that is the question, isn't it? All right. That has to be tightened. If I hold it just like this the whole time, it'll probably be fine. But that ain't going to work. Because I'm going to... Go ahead and just give me the pulpit mic, please. All right. I don't know how. I don't know why, but I do know this. It's Doug's fault. All right. So candlelight service is different in that I think it's more simplistic. We don't do a lot of fancy stuff. We do a couple of videos and such. But it's really focused on one thing, which is Christ. That's what we focus on. Over the next couple of days, I'm sure you'll spend a lot of time with family and friends, do a lot of all kinds of things, and those are great. You'll have maybe dinners and parties and such like. And all those things are good. I don't mean to say anything negative about that. I think it's a wonderful thing. The Lord gives us those opportunities. One second. And now we're back on this one. And so, but nonetheless, this time is a time just really to think about Christ. Tonight's really about the Lord. Each year we do things slightly different on our candlelight service. Typically, I would probably speak earlier than this, but mostly it goes 30, 45 minutes or so. It's more of a simple, short type of a service. But what I want to do tonight is this. I want to just read some verses to you, because really the thought is why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, I think we know we celebrate Christmas because of Christ. He's really the reason. I know it's trite, it's common, but it's true. He is the reason. What I want to do is I want to take some verses. I'm going to start in the Old Testament, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll go to the New Testament and talk a little bit about that. I only got two things I want to say. It may take a little bit more in a few minutes, but it won't take very long. I think when we think about the Old Testament, we celebrate Christmas for what was foretold about Christ. And I want to share some verses with you, and we have a benefit. We have a benefit that we see now after everything has happened, we can look back and see what the Lord was talking about. When the word was given, I'm sure there was some ambiguity about exactly what the Lord was referring to. But now we look at the verses, we know that these verses are telling us about Jesus Christ and about that first Christmas and what that meant for us. So I'm just going to read some verses. You're welcome to turn to it if you want to. I'm going to kind of go kind of quick through these verses. Genesis 3:15, which is probably a popular verse along this line, right after Adam and Eve's sin, God said this to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now we know that he's talking about Jesus Christ. God is looking and seeing this first Christmas that happened 2,000 years ago. Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. It shall bruise thy head. Her seed, Jesus Christ, shall bruise thy head. It's Jesus who puts the thumping on Satan. And thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's obviously referring to the crucifixion. And then in Genesis still, in chapter 22, in verse number 8, the Bible says this. Now, this is when Abraham is taking Isaac up to the mountaintop to make an offering. And there's an allusion here, or a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ coming. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went, both of them, together. And obviously the Lord provided that lamb, and that lamb is Jesus Christ, the promised sacrifice. In Genesis still, in chapter 22, in verse number 18, now the Lord is speaking to Abraham, and he says this, and in thy seed, Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so this seed of Abraham that would be a blessing to all nations was the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's looking down forward, seeing what Jesus would do. I'm not sure exactly how much they knew, but the Lord was speaking of these things. The seed of Abraham would be the blessing of all nations. In Deuteronomy 18, and in verse number 15, again, he's talking to Moses, but again, he's talking about the Lord. And he says this, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. He says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And that prophet, that one who would come after Moses, who was supposed to be leading the Jewish people, was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a foreshadowing of the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, and in verse number 12, now he's speaking to David here, and he's talking about the throne of David. And he says this in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And it wasn't talking just about Solomon and the human offspring of David. He's talking about the one who would come someday and sit on that throne, that eternal throne. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7, so all these verses are a foreshadowing of that very first Christmas. Again and again, the Lord reminds him of what he's going to do about bringing forth his son. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So here the Lord is promising that Jesus would come and be born of a virgin. Could you imagine how they tried to maybe excuse that? I mean, it's humanly impossible for a virgin to have a child. And they probably say, well, maybe he's talking about this, or maybe he's talking about that. Maybe it really isn't a virgin. Maybe it's a young lady. But the Lord promised a virgin would bring forth a son. And that's exactly what happened. In Daniel chapter 7, well, let's stay in Isaiah. Let's stay with my notes. Isaiah 42, get ahead of myself. In Isaiah 42 and verse number 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. And then he makes this statement, and this, again, is a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a light of the Gentiles. And that's a great promise, because that includes us. Not only would Jesus come to be that prophet, that sacrifice, that lamb for the Jewish people, but for us as well. Now, the Jewish people couldn't understand that either. Because to them, if you weren't Jewish, God didn't care about you. But God said, I'm sending someone not only who cares about the Jewish people, but the Gentiles as well. He's, again, foreshadowing the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 53, and in verse number 11, says this. Of course, Isaiah 53 is that chapter where it talks about the Lord's sacrifice on Calvary, his suffering and all that went into it. But in verse 11 it says this, He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So in Isaiah 53:11, Christ would be God's suffering servant that would bear our sins. In Daniel chapter 7, and in verse number 14, here's what we read. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Now he's talking about the Lord, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. A couple more I want to share with you. Daniel chapter, there's a whole bunch. I'm just pulling out a few here. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And as I finish up these last few in the Old Testament, when you see statements like the Word became flesh and God dwelt among us, those are so common now that we don't think. But they're the great fulfillment of all that God promised. That first Christmas was a big thing because all that God promised, God is fulfilling. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and now watch this, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Again, referring to the Lord. So Christ would be the one who would put an end to sin. And that is going to be someday. He's going to put an end to sin. In Micah chapter 5, in verse number 2, this is one of the verses you'll see referenced in the Christmas story. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, this has always been the mind of God. So Christ would be the ruler that would come out of Bethlehem. I'll show you one more out of the Old Testament. In Haggai, chapter number 2, and in verse number 7. And I will shake all nations. Now watch this phrase. And the desire of all nations shall come. Who is the desire of all nations? The Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know it. The lost maybe not know it. But what they want, what they need, the desire of their heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the desire of all nations. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. So all of these things were the foretelling of Christ, and we celebrate Christmas because all that was foretold about Christ is fulfilled in that first Christmas 2,000 years ago. These and many more. But that's not the only reason we celebrate Christmas. There's a second reason. So the first reason is we celebrate Christmas for what was foretold about Christ. Secondly, number two is this, we celebrate Christmas for what was fulfilled by Christ. Not only did he come and do everything that God promised. Now listen, but if that's all that happened, we'd still be in trouble. He kept all the prophecies to the T. He crossed every T, dotted every I, checked off every box, at whatever analogy you want to use. He did everything that he was supposed to do up to that point, that first Christmas. But what happened after that first Christmas is what's very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we celebrate that Christmas, not only that God kept His Word and did everything He promised, but also it brought about what Jesus did after that Christmas. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him, talking about the Lord, to be sin for us. Now watch this phrase, who knew no sin. Now, that is hard for us to wrap our brain about. How can someone have no sin whatsoever? Not one wrong thought, one wrong intention, never say one wrong word, but yet that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew no sin, but yet our sins were laid upon us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we see that Christ lived this perfect sinless life so that His death would be for our sins and not His. He did not have to die. He never sinned. But yet He died for our sins. In John chapter 10, in verse number 17. Now, in the Old Testament, we went in order. In the New Testament, we're bouncing around back and forth. So if you're following, it'll be a little bit more turning back and forth. In John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So it tells us that Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life for our sake. Think about the most wretched person you know. Maybe someone, some drug dealer sells drugs to some little kid. The most wretched person you think of. Jesus laid down his life for that person. That's why we celebrate Christmas, for what Jesus Christ did for us. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that verse is stated in the context of Jesus' resurrection. And so the idea is this, that Jesus' his death, his burial, his resurrection again from the dead, gives us victory over sin in the grave. Now, probably most of us are not anxious to die, but if you know Christ as Savior, death should have no fear. Death is, for a believer, no different than that door right there. You leave this world, you go to heaven. It's just a means of getting from one place to the other. It may be a little difficult for some, but the Lord Jesus Christ has given us victory over sin in the grave. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he is the propitiation. We talked about this Sunday. It means a payment that pays everything in full. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it tells us that Jesus' payment is sufficient to save every person in this world who comes to him. Sometimes people don't want to get saved because of the multitude of sin in their life. Can I tell you, Jesus made a payment for every one of those sins. Let me show you one more. Hebrews 13. And verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, now here's the great promise. This is the Lord speaking, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So this great promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is that once he comes in at salvation, he is there forever. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not holding on to the Lord. He's holding on to me. For me to lose my salvation is to break me free from his grasp, and I cannot do that. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So I would tell you this evening, why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, Christmas accomplished all that was foretold about Christ. So we celebrate Christmas because everything that God promised, he kept, and we see that 2,000 years ago. Also, we celebrate Christmas because all that Christ fulfilled after that, all that he did for us. So we celebrate his birth because that birth allowed him to be on this earth and eventually then to die for our sins. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So Christmas reminds us about all that was foretold about Christ and what Christ came and fulfilled for us. So there may be ways we celebrate, many different ways, but there's only one reason, and that reason is Christ himself. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Now here's what we're going to do next. We have another video, and I really like this video. It will say from a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. It is not Charles Spurgeon. It is someone reading it. Charles Spurgeon, I don't think anything was recorded by him. But it's a great piece. And I want you to consider some things. Before we open gifts, many of you will do that tomorrow. Some wait till Sunday. Some do it Christmas Eve. Some do it Christmas morning. Some do it both. Before we open gifts, before we sit down with family around a Christmas table, before we do any of the other celebration, we ought to stop and realize why we're doing this. It's all about him. This is what he's done for us. And we celebrate, and again, nothing wrong with any of the celebration.
But we need to stop and realize why we're doing this. And we're doing this because of Him. So in a moment, I'm going to walk off the platform. The lights will go out. We'll have a second video. Then, and the lights will stay off. And then the men are going to come and light your candles. And then we're going to stand together. This is after the video. We'll stand together and we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night with our candles lit. All right? All right.
Teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, it is wisdom's mystery, God with us. Sages look at it and wonder. Angels desire to see it. The plumb line of reason cannot reach halfway into its depths. The eagle wings of science cannot fly so high, and the piercing eye of the vulture of research cannot see it. God with us. It is hell's terror. Satan trembles at the sound of it. His legions fly apace. The black-winged dragon of the pit quails before it. Let Satan come to you suddenly, and do you but whisper the word, God with us, and back he falls, confounded and confused. Satan trembles when he hears that name. God with us. It is the laborer's strength. How could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could the confessor acknowledge his master? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is the sufferer's comfort, is the balm of his woe, is the alleviation of his misery, is the sleep that God gives to his beloved, is the rest after exertion and toil. God with us is eternity's sonnet, is heaven's hallelujah, is the shout of the glorified, is the song of the redeemed, is the chorus of angels, and is the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra of the sky. God with us. God with us.
Am I on here, Don? Here we go. Yep. Good. beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Looks like we're almost wrapped up here. All right, if everyone would stand with me, we're going to go ahead and sing this song. I admittedly cannot see terribly well on the page. I'll be looking at that screen. So if I happen to fall out here due to screen not changing quite in time, you'll forgive me for that. But we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, all four verses, song number 431.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild.
We're going to do a cappella, just our voices to the Lord. Here we go. Ready?
Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us sing.
Thank you for singing.